What's up, nerds? Kevin here from Nerds Attitude Podcast. We are at the SoCal Joe Show in Temecula, California. It's December 3rd. Things are hopping right now. People are buying and selling G.I. Joes like they are going out of style. It's like they're not making them anymore. I'm sitting here with Scott.
Hey, what's up, nerds?
And he is
doodling.
He's drawn blisters. He's got blisters on his fingers. He's drawn so much. He's doing his art cards. I got Dave over here. Dave, say hi.
Hey, guys.
And Dave is also selling a bunch of toys, and we're just having a great time. And as we go out through the day, we're going to check in with Jamie Sullivan, cover artist for G.I. Joe, and we're going to try and nail down Buzz Dixon and talk to him about the G.I. Joe TV show and movie, and who knows what else. So stay tuned. Okay, so I'm here with...
Hawk Sanders.
And... we are currently waiting for Scott to do your five-minute drawing, and you've chosen Sergeant Slaughter.
We have.
He one of your favorite characters?
The Sarge is pretty much up there. I've had some great times with him in the past. So.
Have you met him in person?
I have.
Has he put you in the camel clutch?
I
believe it's called the cobra clutch.
Cobra clutch.
I couldn't remember. So, do you call you a maggot?
No.
Make you do push-ups?
Yes.
Where'd you meet him at?
JoeCon.
Okay.
JoeCon was my first meet.
And how many JoeCons have you been to?
Quite a few.
Do you have a favorite?
I do. The first one that the Sarge showed up, I believe, was that 2010?
I'm the wrong person to ask, but since there's no one here to fact check us, yes.
Yeah. So the first one, it was New Orleans.
Okay.
It was New Orleans, and that was the first one he showed up at. That was probably my favorite JoeCon of all time. Had a great time. We have many stories to tell that probably no one wants me to tell.
Do you have a favorite thing you've ever found at a JoeCon, toy or otherwise?
This five-minute drawing is going to be my all-time favorite right here. He's doing an amazing job.
I know this is a visual.
All in ink. First passes. No mistakes as of yet. Pretty impressive.
Also laying out on the table, we've got like Firefly and Duke and Storm Shadow and a Porg. Because Scott isn't limited to just G.I. Joe drawings.
I hear these are tasty. I haven't had a chance to eat one yet.
You roast them, a little rosemary on them.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, so you've been here at the SoCal show. What's other than Scott's drawing, what's your second favorite thing that you've picked up today while you've been at this show?
Let's see. I also picked up a few parts to Kit Bash.
Okay.
So I picked up a Blockbuster that it is for an unnamed project, and I will probably take it apart and... build it into something else.
Nice. Yeah. I got a bunch of like troop figures from the 90s, Star Brigade and stuff like that that I've been missing. So I've been filling a lot of gaps. Yeah. And this has been a good place to find stuff. So.
That's right.
Oh, also some Night Force vehicles. So that's exciting.
A great turnout for the show. Great
it's
turnout.
It's always packed.
It's been packed, and there's always someone to talk to, I was able to talk to Buzz and as well as Jamie behind you here. And in seeing all of my friends. And
it's nice. Yeah, it's kind of like twice a year you get together and see people you know. So.
That's right. That's right.
Well, all right. I think Scott is almost done. So thank you for chatting with us
while your
drawing's been freshly inked. So I'm here with illustrator Jamie Sullivan.
Extraordinaire. Okay.
So you have got a bunch of G.I. Joe comic book retail incentive covers that you've been working on.
So
let's talk about that for a minute.
Sure. What would you like to know?
So how many have you done so far?
Oh, my gosh. As far as incentive covers that have been published, five.
Okay.
I've done 14 covers for them.
Wow.
Some of them have not come out yet. They will be coming out. I'm already a year out.
Right.
I've already done stuff that doesn't come out until the end of next year.
Well, it's nice to know that G.I. Joe at least will be out for another year.
Yeah. they do it in... IDW does it, judiciously. They do it in five issue arcs.
Yeah.
Which is good for a lot of things. I mean, in case something happens, at least a story arc's going to get wrapped up.
Right.
It makes for a good trade.
Yep.
It's good. It's good. So a lot of the covers I've been doing lately will be A's and B's, and they won't be retailer incentives, which is kind of nice.
Okay.
And then I'm partnering up with Yojo Depot, and we're going to be doing some retailer incentives through them.
Oh, cool.
So I'm excited about that, too, nice. Because a lot of the stuff that I want to do that I'm sure in some world IDW would like it as well, but it just doesn't fit with some of the issues that are coming out. I get to do some really cool stuff that I've been itching to do. Because
I know some of the ones you've got that are just sitting in front of me are like a bunch of X-30s flying towards a terror drone. Mm-hmm. You've got a hydrofoil and a shark in the ocean. And you've got a great one that I know that's been really popular of Ace.
And the Night Ravens.
And the Night Ravens that are in the background.
Everybody loves Ace and the Night Ravens. It's crazy.
Sounds like a great 80s band.
Ace and the Night Ravens?
Ace
yeah,
and the Night
totally,
Ravens,
totally. Right? I expect it to be like hair metal.
Yeah,
right. Singing Sister Christian, Yeah.
So of the ones, do you have a favorite that you've done so far, or is there characters that you like drawing more than others?
No, you know, I kind of like drawing all of them. The really cool thing about G.I. Joe is, like, they've already laid out, like, what they look like in their costumes. Mm-hmm. Like, and I like the original, especially 82 from 82 to 87. That's what I grew up on.
Those are the classics.
Yeah. And, you know, I stopped collecting in 87, and that's kind of, after 87, it got kind of wacky.
Right.
I mean, that's no joke. They got strange. And so I like doing stuff from then, and I enjoy drawing all the characters because I think, like, depending on what you do, there's something that really... There's a character that lends to that story. Because
right.
I'm not... If you're looking for an artist that just draws the Baroness with their ass and their boobs sticking out, I'm not your guy. I'm not it. I like the old Marvel run where the covers told a story.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it wasn't something that happened in the issue, when you looked at it, like, man, there's something going on in there. And so every time I submit a cover... I always submit like a two or three paragraph like synopsis of what's happening on the cover. And Hasbro usually, like, they love it. They're like, oh, my God, that's awesome. You know, that's really cool.
Great if that led to some story writing also.
Yeah, like even with the Night Ravens, there's something going on the cover. Mm-hmm. Everybody thinks it's just with Ace looking at like his wingman or the camera or whatever like that. But there's other parts of the story in there. Like one of the Night Ravens doesn't have the drone on the back of it.
So you got to look at the detail. Where
is that at? You know, what's going on with that? And so, you know, I like to add certain things like that.
Nice. I know you've got the one here of the three of them on jetpacks, and Duke has Action Team logo on his.
Yeah, that's that story's kind of making the rounds.
I know we won't have to go into that whole story, but just I'm just talking about the little details that you add to stuff.
Yeah, I do like to put Easter eggs in. Mm-hmm. In most of the covers I do, there'll be Sunbow, like Easter eggs, you know, from the cartoon. Other comics, I hide my wife and my kids' names in the covers.
Nice.
A lot of times.
The what is it? The 5-panel gatefold that you did of the original 13.
That'll actually be a connecting cover set, so it'll be 5 issues.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Not going to be
okay.
Gatefold. It's it's 5 covers, and. Again, I sent him like a 2 or 3 paragraph blurb how it's 1982 and General Flag has set up this team of 13 highly trained, you know,
Special Mission Force
members. And they're kind of getting ready at Fort Wadsworth because a lot of the ammo crates say Fort Wadsworth on them in the picture. And it's a photo. I mean, you got to suspend disbelief
see
a little bit.
In like that World War II black and white
I did one.
Squad photo kind of version.
My colorist and I actually did a black and white version of it where it's black and white photos laying on a desk.
Oh, fantastic.
And it split up. And if you guys follow me on Facebook or on Instagram, that version of the photo is up. So
nice.
And that's the whole story. They're kind of getting their equipment together and they're kind of meeting for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of them I know, I've already been corrected. Some of them already knew each other before Joe. I didn't say that they were all meeting each other for the first time. It was
Forming
the first time.
As a team.
It was the first time the group had come together.
Right.
So I should have phrased that differently. But yeah, and that was wildly popular.
Mm-hmm.
So I did a Chase cover.
I think there's a huge call for nostalgia. lately.
Yeah.
If you look at stuff that's in stores and packaging on toys.
Absolutely.
And so I think kind of taking Joe back to that original 80s look and vehicles and feel, I think, would be huge and sell a lot of issues to kind of bring that back.
Well,
I feel.
You can at least count on the covers for right now.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. I know what's going to happen a few issues from now because I've read them. But
right.
I don't know what's happening that far down the line. But, yeah, it they definitely
kill snake
would
eyes
be
again.
Cool.
Spoiler.
You know what's really funny is, like, yeah, there were a lot of people that upset about that. But Dawn is, like, Dawn's hugely popular.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hugely popular.
I was kind of surprised that people took to her so quick.
Yeah. And
so good.
You know, a lot of – and I've got to defend IDW because a lot of people said it was IDW. It was all Larry's idea.
Mm-hmm.
They let kind of Larry, like, run wild. Like, you know, it's Larry's book. And
kind of his characters and let him evolve them.
I think it's kind of funny. Like, when it got crazy at Marvel and, you know, like, they've done stuff at IDW that fans are like, I don't like that. IDW shouldn't be doing that. Larry wrote it.
Yeah.
You know? So... And God love Larry. I mean, I think all of his stuff's cool. It comes out of his head. And, you know, when I've talked to him before, I'm like, how long are you going to do this? As long as they keep cutting the check.
Yeah.
You know, so he's not going anywhere.
Awesome.
Which I'm pretty happy about.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
I met him at JoeCon for the first time. He was really nice.
Yeah. And you know what? Ridiculous run on writing a comic.
Mm-hmm. Was it 260 or something
and
now?
I've done covers through 273. So I'm like...
Although if you asked him, he'd probably say nobody else wants it.
He would be the first to say I short straw.
Right.
You know,
I think that was how he got it back in the day. It was.
But you know what? He's gotten a lot. His life has been built around it, and I don't think he has any complaints.
No.
He doesn't have any complaints. We grew up, we're both from Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of fun to talk to him, you know, about things that, even though, like, we're clearly different in age, but there's still the same things that we both did as children, you know, because
the
small
area,
towns around there, there's nothing to do. And, you know, talking about, like, Bushido, I believe, is the character that's from Sacramento, and that file card's his childhood, you know.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's, I enjoy drawing all the old ones, and when I can... get them as accurate as possible to the toy, and I study the file cards.
Mm-hmm.
I study the art of the file cards. I'm a huge student of Herb Trimpe and Mike Vosburgh, and so when I can get that, and I can channel that and make a cover that resembles that and feels like that, I'm really happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like the connecting cover is, when you look at them, all those characters are Sumbo style.
Mm-hmm.
The big feet, and that's what I was going for, and everyone's like, you nailed it.
Yeah.
So I felt pretty good about that.
That's great.
Thanks.
Do you have an end date for doing Joe, or is it they just keep using it until
as long as they ask me.
Nice.
You know, I mean, I've got, I think I might be working on Transformers a little bit, maybe doing some covers, which is kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
The new stuff?
Yeah, when it rolls out again next year. And I'm always busy with Toynami. As long as they are doing Robotech, I do limited edition prints and card art for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm looking at your banner sitting here behind us.
Yeah,
Robotech staring me in the face.
Right.
And that, because it was kind of based off an F-14 and the Sky Striker and the whole thing, that I just immediately was so easy to love Robotech as a kid as much as G.I. Joe.
Because everybody loved the F-14 Tomcat.
Yeah.
That plane is gorgeous.
It's today still my favorite plane ever. I have a model sitting on my desk.
Oh my God.
I'm in the Air Force.
Yeah. I love the F-14 Tomcat. I really in Top Gun.
And that's because of G.I. Joe and Top Gun.
Yeah. Well, mine more so because of honestly because of Robotech.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is so similar to the F-14. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, they didn't really have Robotech toys. So if I got an F-14 model, I immediately painted it before they started importing. Like Revell started importing
them. Put some yellow and black stripes on
it. Yeah,
yep.
Yeah. Then you got Roy's Skull Squadron, you know, VF-1S and VF-1A, and yeah, they're awesome. But I'm doing the package art for Wave 2 and 3 of. The 3¾-inch figures from Toynami.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm excited about that. That'll be fun.
Do we get to know what's in Wave 2 and 3?
I know Claudia is in Wave 2,
okay.
which I think is one of the first times she's ever been released as a figure in that scale.
Claudia?
Claudia, Roy's girlfriend.
Nice.
That's a huge deal. That's a, that like been a fan requested like figure forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that, that
yeah,
George...
Scott and I picked up both of them, and they're sitting in Veritech, like the big matchbox.
Yeah.
I picked up two sets, so one to open and one to keep
and that's
sealed
good.
Because of the artwork on the. As an artist too and a graphic designer, I love the artwork on packages. So
yeah, they're yeah. beautiful and
great work.
The, I'm glad you picked up two because they are sold out, and George is not making any more.
Well, had I known, I would have brought them and had you sign
George
them.
George is not making. Yeah. Well. Well, I'm sure I'll see you again.
So, well, so this is just a quick, you know, talk at the show. I want to get together and just sit down with you, long form interview, and talk about your history as an illustrator and,
sure.
And everything you've worked on. But for now, just kind of want to touch on the G.I. Joe covers because that's what's hot and where did G.I. Joe
yeah,
show.
It's crazy.
And,
crazy how.
And we didn't get a chance to talk the last time. We were in the same room together. So.
Yeah, no worries.
But give me all your social media info, or you want to have your business manager do it for you?
Yeah.
If you know it.
Aaron won't, Aaron won't, Aaron won't tell him. Yeah, it's JSI and Design. That is Instagram.
That's Twitter.
Twitter.
All right.
JSI and Design. Okay, Twitter.
Just give her the mic.
Whatever. Jamie Sullivan Illustration is
Instagram.
And Jay Sullivan... It's got a picture of Firefly as a profile picture I drew. That is my Facebook page.
Fantastic. Well, yeah. We'll have everybody subscribe and follow and do all that fun
sure.
stuff. Friend request, whatever.
Yeah.
And check out your artwork. It is fantastic. If you can, do
Thanks.
You sell your prints online?
They can. Yeah, they can. Yeah. They can message us. And
okay.
Yeah. I
Send
mean, I don't
message.
Have a website. So.
Okay. Message them however you can. They are
yeah.
fantastic. I'm going home with a piece, and it's just probably the first of many. So.
Anyways. Thanks, I appreciate
so,
it.
All right, well, thanks for sitting down with me for
yeah.
a few minutes, and
yeah, for sure.
We'll chat again in the future.
All right.
All right, thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right, so I'm here with acclaimed writer Buzz Dixon, who you would know
Hello.
Wrote the G.I. Joe movie and the cartoons.
Yes, the animated series.
So tell me, man, I have so many questions. Tell me a little bit about the writing process for the movie.
The writing process for the movie... The first script was written by Ron Friedman, who had written the original G.I. Joe miniseries. And Ron had a very good agent who got him a guarantee that he would get sole screenwriting credit regardless. And this is not a slam against Ron because he's really a very good writer, very, very excellent, top-notch writer. But Sunbow looked at what he had done. They felt... It was not quite fitting in with what the series had become, and they asked me to take a look at it. And I looked at it, and I said, well, you know, my personal suggestion was to start from scratch. And they said, well, can you write one? And I said, I'll give it a try. And we had come up, when Serpentor was introduced, we had come up with two possible ways to explain his introduction. One was that he was created, which
that was like the comic version.
Yeah, the animated version. That was Arise, Serpentor, Arise,
mm-hmm.
the miniseries. And then the other version was that there was some shadowy organization behind Cobra that had been supplying Cobra all this time. And I called it Cobra Law, just to give it a placeholder name, and they fell in love with it,
mm-hmm.
so they stuck to it. My advice to writers is, if you're going to use a placeholder name, use something that is so foul that they can't.
There's no
possibly
chance.
Yeah, I mean, if I had known, it would have been called Monkey Hemorrhoid Island. It
right.
would have been, you know,
oh well, the MHI.
Yeah,
you know, they've been behind Cobra for
yes,
years.
Yeah.
So was that your idea? Was the Cobra,
the
Law,
Cobra
and
Law
those characters and
those characters? The Nemesis Enforcer was created by Ron Friedman, and that stayed over because everybody thought he was a cool looking character.
Mm-hmm.
After that, everything else though was created by me. And let me rephrase that. All the Cobra Law characters were
right.
created by me. The the new Joe characters were obviously created by the Hasbro team.
So is that something that they had in mind for, like, these are the new toys we have
yes,
coming out, so
yes.
incorporate these characters?
Right,
that's how we
right.
got Falcon and the Slaughter's Marauders.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Was that is that a challenge when they give you characters that they've created to incorporate?
The nice thing about a series like G.I. Joe is that, first off, it's a military unit, so people are cycling in and out of a unit all the time. Mm-hmm. And secondly, we had at one point in the TV series 86 characters in both Joe's and Cobra. And so we could do any kind of a story we wanted to. If you figure out the story, and then you could find the perfect character to tell it with. So it was not a problem introducing the characters. I think a couple of the characters could have possibly been refined a little bit more before we actually got them on. Mm-hmm. And I'll be frank, there was a couple of times where I listened to dialogue and went, ooh, that sounded so good when it was in my head.
Right.
Let me have a chance to rewrite this. And no, we haven't got the time. So,
right.
You know.
Any characters in particular that you were fond of writing for?
Oh, my goodness. Either the movie or the Shipwreck. Yeah. They originally weren't planning to use Shipwreck, and I shoehorned him into the movie as I was determined to get him in. But Shipwreck was always my favorite character. Just about all of them. I enjoyed working with them. There were no characters that, you know, I thought, oh, this is, you know, I can't do anything with this guy and, you know, dump him. I could generally find something to work with all of them.
Thanks. How many of the TV show episodes did you do? For Sunbow,
yeah,
right?
For Sunbow, I think my name as writer or co-writer is on 7 of them. But the reality is, as an assistant story editor, and later as the only story editor on the series, I ended up rewriting and sometimes writing from scratch entire episodes. There's a couple of episodes where the writer turned it in and we just couldn't use what they turned in, and it was a lot easier just to go back to the original idea and start afresh. But my opinion as a story editor is you never put your name on somebody else's script. If that's your job as the story editor, is to fix it so that it's ready when it goes to the animation department.
Do you have any episode or story arc stand out as a favorite?
Oh, my goodness, yes. The Traitor, which was a two-parter that we did, which is about Dusty Rudat apparently turning on the Joes and betraying them. And that was that got a lot of response from our audience at the time, because the motivation that we gave him was that his mother was sick, he needed money for her medical bills, and Cobra was dangling money in front of him, saying, you know, you're not really betraying the Joes. You're just letting us know where they're going to be so we can avoid them.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonated with kids, because the kids could understand, well, gee, if my mom was sick, I would want to make money for her, and maybe I would do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a really good episode. I was very happy with it, and it was a lot of fun to do.
Nice. Mm-hmm. God, I don't know. Now I'm blanking. Any favorable memories that might make for a good story that someone might know about behind the scenes on working on the TV show?
Okay, well, I will not mention any names because she'll kill me if she hears it. We had a female employee who we were working in Westwood, which is just outside of UCLA.
Mm-hmm.
We were on the second floor of a two-story building, and at lunchtime, this female employee would go upstairs and sunbathe. And we knew that, and we just, you know, leave her alone. And so one day we're working, and the telephone guy shows up and says, where's the junction box? And unthinking, we say it's up on the roof. And the next thing we hear is a scream, and he comes down red-faced. And she comes down a moment later, pulling her clothes on, saying, don't ever do that again.
Was it kind of a fun kind of loose atmosphere?
It was a lot of fun. We had we joked about it. We had an arms race going on. Flint Dilley brought in, who was one of the other writers at Sunbow at the time. Flint worked more on Transformers than Joe, but he did a number of Joe episodes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Flint came in with a 20 millimeter artillery shell, you know, any aircraft shell. And he had that on his desk, And I thought, well, we can't let this go unavenged. So I brought in a couple of dummy hand grenades I had to use as paperweights.
Yep.
And he comes back with a 105 howitzer shell that he found somewhere. And I was in I don't know if it's still there. There used to be a military surplus store on Hollywood Boulevard. And I was in there one day, and son of a gun, they had the empty canister for a dummy bomb, a 100-pound dummy bomb. And I said, I want that. And so I showed up the next day with a 100-pound bomb and put it on my desk. It was like, okay, you win.
You win. That's awesome. I see Batman and some other characters. What are some other TV shows that you've been able to write for?
Well, we'll look at the poster that I have here. We'll start with the oldest ones first. I wrote for Thundar the Barbarian at Ruby Spears. I wrote Dungeons and Dragons.
I loved that as a kid.
Yeah, that was I did the Quest of the Skeletal Warrior mm-hmm. for them. I obviously wrote for G.I. Joe. I wrote for Tiny Toons. I wrote for My Little Pony. I wrote for all the Sunbow shows except for Air Defenders. But I wrote for Visionaries, Inhumanoids, Gem, wow. My Little Pony.
So if there was probably an 80s or 90s cartoon, your fingerprints are on it somewhere.
Probably, yeah. Nice. One way or another, my fingerprints are on it. I wrote for Brave Star. I wrote for the low point of my career was the Little Clowns of Happy Town. I wrote for a show called The Fabulous Funnies for Filmation, where we managed to animate and air a cartoon based on the Tumbleweeds comic strip without ever bothering to get the permission of the cartoonist to do so.
Okay.
His lawyer had a lot of things to say to us
imagine,
the Monday
yeah.
after it aired. You know?
So do you ever get to interact with the voice actors that were portraying these characters
yeah.
and then write to their vocal strengths to kind of tailor the characters?
Yeah, we would know who they were and what they could do. And when I was writing Transformers, whenever I would have a chance, I would write jazz into the script because mm-hmm. that would give me an excuse to go to the recording session and hang out with Scatman Crothers
mm-hmm.
all day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was like one of the benefits of working for Sunbow. You know, you could hang out with Scatman. There were a lot of other excellent voice actors that we had. Don Johnson was recorded separately, but I was at all of the recording sessions for the G.I. Joe movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got to meet Sergeant Slaughter. I got to meet Burgess Meredith.
Oh, nice.
It was really nice, yeah.
You have a lot of Batman questions for him?
Actually, when we sat down to lunch, I said, you're going to have to forgive me, but I got to ask the question. And I saw him stealing himself for a penguin question.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at him and said, George, tell me about the rabbits.
Nice.
And he went, thank you. And, you know, because I was hearkening back to Of Mice and Men, mm-hmm, which mm-hmm. was his big breakout movie back in the 1930s. I did a lot of, I interacted a lot with the voice actors, got to know them. They were a fun crew to work with.
I know I've talked to Michael Bell and Hank Garrett, and even today they're still just a bunch of fun just to chit-chat with. And
Chris Latta was fun, but you know he had his problems.
Mm-hmm.
He unfortunately succumbed to addiction. You know later on, and Flint had more interactions with him, but more than once Flint would get a phone call at like 3 o'clock in the morning from the police department saying.
Oh.
We've got this guy, Chris Latta, and can you come and bail him out? And Flint would go, let's see, has he got a recording session? Damn, yes, he does. Okay,
yeah, we'll
be
right
there.
That's awesome. Well, hey, this has been very informative. Yeah. I appreciate your time. Yeah. I'm sure we'll see each other at a show in the future,
and I
will get some more stories out of you next time.
I'll be happy to supply them.
For now, where can people find you so they can follow you and...
I am online at www.buzzdixon.com. That's BUZZDIXON, all one word. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram and Tumblr.
Nice.
Just take a look, and you'll be tripping over me everywhere.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
So we're here doing the post-show wrap-up, me and Scott and
Evan. Hey, what's up, nerds? Hey,
Robert's over on the other side of the room packing up. He didn't want to sit down. He wants to go home. Who else? Is Drew already left. The silent
Ron's
partner,
here.
Ron.
He's here.
But we don't talk to Ron.
No.
Because he's the silent partner.
He's the silent.
So,
thank you.
How did how'd the show go today?
It went really well. It went really well. Our Crimson Sap sold in the first 2 hours.
How many of those were there? 47?
57.
57.
And they were gone.
Nice.
By 10 o'clock.
And look, Robert has joined us.
By 10 o'clock, they were gone.
Yeah, 2 hours sold out. That's fantastic.
It was kind of crazy.
It was insane.
The first,
hi, everyone.
The
hi.
First hour
hey,
of the show from 8 to 9, I was like, what's
you
going
had,
on?
I was surprised. I did a lap to go to the restroom before the show opened, and at like 7:30 in the morning, there was a line down the hallway of people
yeah.
waiting
oh, yeah.
again. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Please
great
don't
to see
open
it.
Earlier to accommodate that.
No, we didn't. We did it at 8 o'clock on the button.
Yeah.
I had to leave my house at 5 in the morning this morning to get to his place. And
we left at 6.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, hey, the next show will be 15 minutes closer for you guys.
Yes. Yeah. So let's start right. there. Tell us about the April show that's coming up.
May 5th.
May 5th
Ooh,
show.
The Cinco de Mayo. It's in.
Uh-oh.
It's the Cinco de Mayo. Hey, but it's in a bar casino area, so I think people want to come. It's a pretty.
Yeah, I heard there's extra amenities at the new place.
You can say
that. So first of all, the show is gonna the floor plan is about 3 times as large.
Oh, new vendors!
Huge.
In addition to that, there's also a patio that we can utilize, and there is a bar there that they will cook to order hamburgers, hot dogs, that
fantastic.
Type of stuff.
Because I still
and
say that that's
bar
what's
bar.
Been missing here is
food. And a bar bar.
And there's a bar bar.
People can spend money
yes, and
get
drunk. No, we don't
spend
want that.
Spend more money.
Spend more money. Like, I want that.
There's
over
also
there.
An arcade. There is also bowling, laser tag, and there is
pool
also
tables.
Pool tables. And it's
we
insane.
We need to organize some kind of a G.I. Joe themed
yeah,
laser G.I. tag.
G.I. Joe versus Cobra. That's what I was thinking.
Right? God, blue versus green. I wonder if they can change the laser colors. Is that how
it's
laser
just
tag works?
Red and blue.
Not
I don't
quite.
Know.
That would be.
Red
would
laser
be
versus
really
blue
fun.
Laser.
Wouldn't
right?
it though?
And it's a 2-story laser tag room.
Damn.
So it's impressive.
My favorite part of that is when you get to do the rope rappel. From the second layer level down to the first level.
I don't think they do
I
that.
Don't
they,
think
they don't.
I
they
know.
Don't. It's not that kind of two-layer,
so. No.
two-level.
And I will say for the two fans of ours that are married or have girlfriends, that there is an outlet mall right down the road. So
oh, there we
your,
go.
Your significant other
like one of those baby cry rooms, but for wives.
No, yeah, that would be. And we've just offended our two wives who are listening.
That's right. My wife
our
doesn't
lives
listen
don't,
as far
our
as
wives
I know,
don't listen.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah.
I was just told that Buzz will do this anytime, so it looks like he'll be here in May again.
Fantastic. Earlier in this episode, I had a really nice interview with Buzz, learned a little bit about some behind-the-scenes stuff on the
Did
TV
you hear
show.
About Leatherneck and...
Why are you whispering? We're on microphones.
Leatherneck and... Wetsuit?
He's like,
he
hey,
no,
did you
not.
Hear? Leatherneck, wetsuit.
Sorry.
But tell you what, tell me when we're not recording. And,
I will, because it's pretty
apparently it's a secret.
Okay. It is
we'll
not
it
a secret.
A
Sorry,
Patreon
it's a secret,
exclusive.
Guys.
But I was very excited that Buzz came here. He's a great guy to talk to. If you ever see him at a show, I highly recommend that you have a conversation with him.
Super easy to talk to,
yes.
Very approachable.
Really nice.
And some fun stories, too. So May 5th at Scandia or wherever we're going to be at. What is it? Pizza what?
It's called Pins
and
pockets.
Okay.
Like bowling pins
and we got the Illusion Room.
In what city?
It is in Lake Elsinore.
Next up in the
California.
Illusion Room,
okay.
Candy.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, that's funny.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, there's an area for that.
Right? She's dressed as a bear.
Are you serious?
I don't
Jesus
know what
Candy
Evan's talking about.
What?
Right?
There is a
oh,
stage.
Oh, there is a stage.
So you could
no pole.
Candy.
Well, set
no
us pole. Up on the stage, and we'll do some live
That'd
shenanigans.
Cool.
Maybe a PA, so you can announce to the That'd room the
yes.
raffle numbers.
The stage is gigantic, though.
We can fill it.
Yeah,
I have the gear. You need speaker stacks for a podcast. I can do it.
We will have a microphone finally for our fourth show. So
baby steps.
Yeah, baby steps.
Baby
you know,
steps.
And we do. We will have a modern exclusive there for
yeah.
sure. We have already. That's already in the works. I can't say much more about it than it's in the works. And we're.
I know what it is.
Yeah, Scott knows what it is because he has to do the artwork. So. And we're hoping to have our vintage exclusive. That's kind of a 50-50 right now. But if we do not have it for the May show, we will have it for our December show in 2019.
Yeah,
50-50. Cool.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, maybe definitely I have it in.
Maybe that's what you do. That differentiates the December. The
it is
December
fun, yeah.
You have two, and the May you've got one.
You got one. Well,
yeah, because we did that in May last time. Well, we just sold the rest of the Outlaws that we got boxed.
But this show was great. We had more foot traffic than we had at any our other two shows. Lots of folks came, and I've only heard positive comments.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of excitement about having a bigger venue than this one here. So
yeah,
I came here with the intent of it's before Christmas. I'm not allowed to buy anything. I'm here to sell a few things and promote the podcast.
How'd that work out for you?
I went home with four gigantic shopping bags full of toys. So not well.
Success.
Right?
Not well.
All right. Hashtag fail.
It's the best kind of fail.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah, I support that fail 100%.
Here. Yes.
I mean, there's a lot of different toys here. I mean, it's the SoCal Joe show, but there's
I saw tons a Visionaries toy that I had never seen before in my life that I wanted so bad, but the guy wanted $425 for it. I'm like, I just can't.
What was the only one ever made?
Apparently.
It's a prototype.
It was really rare. Hard to get, but yeah, no.
Well, I will echo, Kevin, what you said. I bought more stuff at this show than I had probably the last two shows combined.
Nice.
Just found a lot of little things here and there. Mm-hmm. I got an awesome little drawing from Scott in
you.
Color. And my son, so I got the Trooper, the Cobra Island Security Viper.
Oh, I would like to say the best drawing that was done all day was of you.
In the cassette
as
tape.
As the
I
Listen and Fun cassette
that
tape.
And that awesome. Was a hoot. That was so much fun to draw. Gerald, our friend Gerald, came over and he said, I have the perfect one this year I want you to do. And I'm like, okay, what is it? And he tells me, I'm just like, oh, I'm dropping everything right now to draw that.
That's awesome.
And that was. And in fact, when they showed it to me, every time I think about that memory, I still have, like, I get giddy inside and my heartbeat starts pounding very quick. And I'm like, I don't have anything
else.
Thank
you so much.
That's
so
great memories.
Yeah, thank you again, Kevin, for letting me just simply be the schmuck in the cassette
tape.
It
was great.
It was the best. You guys won. That's all that matters. Should have been on the dang cover of one of those magazines. I'm still
Absolutely.
Pissed about that.
Yeah, well.
Range Viper? Come on.
Well, what are you going to do?
It's a club.
I know.
Oh, wait. That was the first mistake they've ever made. Though.
Mm-hmm. The club? Yeah.
The
absolutely.
First misstep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we really should have seen how they played out by the end.
That's why Hasbro yanked their license from what I hear.
Right.
Yeah. Because Listen and Fun Tripwire
wasn't
on
the cover.
Hey, before he leaves, Mark, what do you have a website or something?
Yeah, you.
Nothing?
No?
You just sell it toys? Oh, I wanted to give a shout out to Mark's Vintage Toys. So if you see him at these shows, he got a lot of my money today. So
gonna be,
yeah,
like, he got a lot of my money too.
Where's this Mark
too?
Vintage toy?
So check him out. He's not on social media. Okay,
yeah. Mark's not on social
Good
media.
Good luck.
He doesn't have a storefront. He's not on eBay. He doesn't do anything.
Come to
Good
our next
luck.
Show and you can buy from him.
Yes, May 5th in the Illusion Room. Next up on in the Illusion Room, Candy the Bear,
Candy the Balloon Bear.
The balloon
oh,
bear.
Candy
in
the Balloon
the
Bear.
Illusion Room
and Vintage Toys.
Marky Mark.
Marky Mark and
oh,
Candy the Balloon
funny.
Bear.
She'll make your 3 3/4 go to 12 inches. All right. Give
that's
it up for
terrible.
Candy the Balloon Bear. All right. So
so anyway.
I'll definitely be DJing
Do
sure,
it.
The Illusion
definitely.
Room.
Oh, my Lord.
Saturdays from,
it's gonna be
from
happening.
Midnight to 3. Any other exciting news? So there are Vintage Viper 3-packs left over, both carded and bagged.
Correct.
And there is a waiting list
limited
on Facebook.
Limited quantities.
So get on that list now, and you might get one.
We only have about a dozen or so of the carded 3-back, so that one's going to go pretty quick. And our Python Patrol Snake Armor Pilot sold out, as Eben shared, in a couple hours.
Yeah, those,
so
the modern ones never
Sorry,
left.
Should have been here.
What about the bagged 3-packs?
We do have some bagged 3-packs, so all of you who are wanting a bagged 3-pack, we probably have about 60, maybe a little bit less than that.
Well, take your chances. Get on that list. Maybe other people that got on the list early don't respond or back out.
So we will be doing that sometime this week. Give us a day or two to catch our breath,
exactly.
And then we'll be contacting folks on the wait list and just informing them that what's available. We do have a limited amount of patches available as well.
And you can still get these awesome shirts that have the Crimson Guard Python Patrol.
Another one. I think I sold like six of them.
Did you?
Nice. Logo on them. They're a great burgundy shirt with the artwork on the front by our own Scott.
Hey, that's me.
And you can still get those anytime.
It's Scott. It's me.
Made to order and shipped next day, I believe.
Yeah, shipped next day. So. Free shipping, I believe. Mark is doing.
So
we'll have links for that.
Unless
you can get
you're
those.
Like a 6XL and then it goes up a little.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Anything stand out this show? What was the most amazing thing you saw somebody selling today?
Ooh.
$425
visionary
toy that did not sell, but it was very cool. So I bought a bunch of box mask stuff, so that made me very happy.
Let's see. I sold a Valor versus Venom hydrofoil, or maybe it was a Spy Troops.
The green one?
Yeah, the green one.
I love that one.
Like, complete... hydrofoil mold. It was just colored camouflage. So
I like that marbly green, or that like marbly look that they did with the plastics in the 90s.
It was technically Night Force. Came with Night Force beachhead. And Night Force flint. But
I love it. I like that one.
Did it come with a Night Force eye roll that you just?
It did. you missed that. Those of you who are listening and not watching on our YouTube channel,
Evan, you were mostly at the front. Did you see anything outstanding today?
Just. People wanting to, I mean, the Crimson Sap, I mean, I couldn't, it was nuts. And then when people wanted to pay with credit card or PayPal, it was crazy. I mean, we had a line like six deep just standing there waiting for me. And then the swiper wasn't working, so you had to use it. They had to enter the credit card by hand, which is fine. It just slowed it down instead of just swiping it. You know, and it, you know, people, oh, wow, this thing's awesome. They're getting better and better. And I'm like, oh, thank you. Great. That's great. And then all of a sudden they're gone. And people, like some vendors that usually get them, they're like, hey, you know, can I get, I'm like, you didn't get that yet? Because it's gone.
Yeah.
So live and learn.
Shout out to Dave Miller, our very own Flavy Davey, for painting every single one of those things. He did all the pinstriping on him. I thought he was insane.
Yeah. I thought it was nuts that you asked for the pinstriping on the Python.
You can blame Robert. Blame Robert on that one.
Yeah.
I would say the most amazing thing I saw was definitely Jamie Sullivan. And when he brought his art print book.
That was fantastic.
That are coming.
The one... The original 13 one?
Yeah, so he does one. We talked about it when we interviewed him earlier in this episode, where it's the all 13. It's a five cover series to put them all together. But he had like full-size prints of that as a poster that he had as a proof. But he's doing a series where it's the blueprint, like the vehicle blueprint, with a figure drawn on top of it. Amazing. I got one that's a Skyhawk with Duke just sort of like chilling. It's blew my mind, and he's got at least four or five more that are coming for future shows. So in May, on Cinco de Mayo, in the Illusion Room, that guy.
Well, you're suddenly Christopher Walken.
Yeah, in the Illusion Room. I don't know what happened.
I think her name on Cinco de Mayo is Candelita.
I picked up the low light from him.
He'll have new prints there too. So he was great to talk to, and we're going to do a longer episode with him in the future. So.
And we're just going to tease one thing because it's not quite certain, but we are potentially going to have a voice actor at
our
first May
one.
Show.
Ooh,
yeah. Chris can't say who it is.
Chris Lotta, what is wrong with you?
Yes,
going to be there.
That is so wrong.
What, too soon?
Big Lebowski? Too soon. Anyone?
Yeah. All right.
God,
so come on.
That's funny.
Kevin's
out of your league, Donnie. Look, I'm a little punch drunk at the end of the day. It's been long.
We've been up since 5 or 4.
Seriously,
I've been up since 3:30.
How come you guys don't stay here the night before? That just seems crazy to me.
Well, I'm
you're about an hour away because you're out in the middle of deliverance.
He's in the middle of
it. 30 minutes to get here. But for me, that's nothing.
I will say we had a visitor come from the farthest away, one of the finest members, the costume club for G.I. Joe, came in from Indiana.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
He's also here to see Disneyland, but he came here first.
No, he came here. This was why, and Disneyland was the.
That's what I mean.
This
was this,
I agree.
And then he's going to see the other Disney Southern California highlights.
Yes,
that's right.
So shout out to him, and the finest for sending some trips down.
Yes, thank you.
And we, the Nerds with Attitude, liked having a table not against the wall in there in the
yes,
corner,
we felt
we had
much,
a lot of traffic.
There was so a lot was more, it's, cool.
much
yes,
more part yeah, of the action. Yeah. Putting us
well, we're
going to
do that
talent.
Again. Actually, for the new venue, we're going to have a whole section for special
It'll
guests.
Be special guests,
That's
art
fantastic.
Row.
Nice.
Yep.
I got to say, I was a little nervous at first being next to Jamie with my mediocre art mm-hmm. skills and his full compositions, and I'm like, oh, God. Who the hell is going to want to pay a $5 sketch?
And what did
a
you
lot
say
of people,
by the end of the day?
My
I am
hands
tired
were,
of drawing.
I am so tired. I'm done.
How many did you do?
About 20, I want to
wow.
say.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's yeah. a lot of minutes.
Scott has also done drawing vipers for at least until like 2020.
Vipers, I'm good on vipers for a while.
I was just going to say, I want you to do another viper. He's flipping me off with his eyeballs right
that's
now.
That's hilarious. Yeah, it went really well.
Well, good. All right, let's wrap this up. Let's get out of here.
I'm hungry.
We're all
yes.
hungry. We're
I'm
tired.
So hungry.
I don't have any more celebrity impressions I can do. I can do walking, sort of, but not really.
Not quite.
Yeah,
that's okay.
So, Eben, take us out of here. You can shake my hand if you want to.
They're shaking hands,
nice
everyone.
To meet you.
Yes.
This is Philip Eben Foster, guys.
Robert
so LeMoyne.
Oh, sorry, I just cut you off. Go ahead.
It's okay. You son of a biscuit.
You done now?
Yeah, I'm done.
God, that was the longest exit ever. All right, this is Robert.
And Scott.
And I have been Kevin Walken. And you guys keep it nerdy.
Keep it nerdy.
Keep it nerdy.
Nerd.
All right, nerds, that's it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode. If you were at the Joe Show, let us know in the comments what the best thing is that you picked up on the sales floor. Also, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media. Go to nerdswithattitudepodcast.com where you can find links to all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We are not on Snapchat. Nobody should be on Snapchat. Also, you can support us on Patreon, which we would absolutely love if you could do that. There's bonus content, some silly photos, all kinds of weird stuff that you can get there for just as little as a dollar a month. And also, you can get some cool swag in return. And financially, it really helps support the podcast so we can continue to put out fun episodes like this and talk to cool people that you find interesting. Anyways, that's it. Keep it nerdy.